I mean, literally, my job is to push a button. I can push the button.
I don't know. I thought you had to hit the play, not the record. But I guess it's the record button.
I have one job, to start the show.
Well, before we start the show, I just want to go over something real quick and let our listeners know how much of an awful, disgusting person you are. Mayo, I mean, and mustard? Are you crazy?
There were so many things where my mind went was like, what does he know? What has he discovered? Oh, the mayo mustard thing. That's fucking delicious.
No, that's disgusting.
So this is my toppings of choice for burgers, is just mayo mustard.
Ugh,
ketchup is optional. Once I realized, like, after I grew up out of being a child and realizing, like, McDonald's and Burger King, Whoppers, they put mayo on it. Best thing ever. And I can argue why mayo is one of the best condiments. I understand some people just outright hate mayo. Mayo mustard is a great, you get the tangy spice of the mustard, and then that creaminess of mayo. If you don't like, wait, do you just not like mayo?
So I like Chipotle mayo. So I like the spicy mayo.
Okay.
But I don't like, but like, that's like the Chipotle, you know, like they put on like Subway stuff. Yes. I like it too,
but it's like it's not even hipster. It's okay.
Like, that's not what I like. I'm not going to like be like, I don't like mustard. I don't like mayonnaise by itself.
Why are you shitting on me if these are two condiments you just straight out hate? Like,
because it's disgusting.
But you don't like the individual parts either, so you're not going to like the combination.
Yeah, but like the combination is disgusting. Mayo must? Like, it sounds like something that...
They made a mistake there, yes. Yeah, so we're talking about a product, mayo must, which is combination, and by Heinz, a quality brand, of mayo and mustard together. They should have called it must mayo. It's more potent. Give me that must mayo. Just gotta must mayo it.
No, ugh, no, it doesn't sound good either way.
Because so
should be mayored. No, actually, that sounds like he's going to start a band named Tool.
I know. I'm just like, there's a Tool joke waiting to be happening there. Okay, mayored. No, but must mayo, mayo must mayo. So mayonnaise. It's not underrated. It's actually a super popular condiment. But anything that's very greasy or not meaty, umami, like grilled meats, mayonnaise is perfect for it.
No, grilled meats are fine just by themselves. You don't put mayonnaise on a steak.
If the steak was in bread, yes. Ugh. The whole point is mayo protects the bread. There's like chemistry behind this that I'm trying to figure out how to explain to your simple non-chemical food-based mind.
So bread is King Arthur and mayo is Lancelot? Is that what you're saying?
Merlin. I would have gone with Merlin. Because otherwise, what happens? You get soggy buns.
But mayo is like liquidy.
Good mayo. Creamy mayo. A nice good... Now, you're not going to slather it on. I mean, some people like that. I mean, hey, if you're into slathering mayo, that's fine. But at least a thin layer will protect your bread from getting super soggy. Ideally, the bottom layer should be mayoed. And then you put the meat, or the most likely a hamburger in this case, on top of it. Then you can put your lettuce, tomato, and all that stuff on the top, on like, and then you put the top bun. But the bottom bun should be mayoed.
No.
Trust me.
Cheese. That's what your
divider. You put the cheese on the bottom of your burger?
Well, I mean, you don't have to, but like if you need a divider. Because then
that means you put the meat on top of it and the meat like melts into the cheese. No, you should put the cheese on top of the meat so it melts over the burger itself and like the
edges. You don't need a defense on the bottom line.
Mr. Cheese for your defenses.
Well, I was just saying if you need a defense, you could use cheese, but you don't need it. So that's why the cheese goes on top.
So what defends your bottoms? I know, but we're going to pretend this is Great British Bake Off and it's soggy bottoms. It's perfectly fine if this was the UK.
No, but you don't need a defense. It doesn't, like, if you eat it fast enough, it doesn't get soggy.
But let's say
also, why is it getting soggy? Is it grease? So
if you cook a burger, I'm assuming you pan fried the burger or such. I mean, if you grilled it, sure. But ideally, you want a juicy burger. A juicy burger is going to have, by its very name, juices. And if you put it on a bun, and let's say you're a good person and you have multiple people to serve and such, you're not making a burger for one. Now, if you're making a burger for one, that's a whole different thing, and all right, no shame there, but like, you make the burger, it's gonna have to sit on the bread for a little bit. Like, you've been at a restaurant, I'm sure, and been served a burger where like, the bread is, it's just been sitting there and they were delayed in getting it to you, and like, the bread is all shitty and stuff, and it's just like, what the fuck?
Well, that's just bad bread then.
But the way to protect that, if that chef or person back there, just a thin layer of, and you could use an aioli if you're a hipster, you know, put some aioli down there. Perfectly fine. You just need some ketchup and mayo won't do, or ketchup and mustard won't do it. You need something fatty. Burger tips, Harvey Z. You're welcome.
It's a gamer.
We're here.
It's a gamer. That's it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with...
Harvey Z, in the place to be.
And, yeah, we're just going to move on forward. That's all we're going to...
You're just contemplating. I mean, I think your mind is blown.
I'm contemplating?
Let it go. Although I was going to ask, like, since we're kind of jumping into the show itself, though, but have you made burgers, sir?
I've made burgers at some point. Like
I know you cook. I don't know if you cook burgers.
I don't regularly make... I've been living in an apartment for like the last, 6 years? I don't really... There's no place for a grill in an apartment.
Oh, I pan fry burgers.
Oh. If I'm going to make burgers, I want to do it on a grill. I don't want to...
Okay. See, I can't grill because I also live in an apartment. I have solved this problem. A hot pan. Mm. And then you just cook it on there. But again, the juice problem.
Okay. Well... We're not gonna. This is not make
this
me
is not a cooking
chef.
Show or yeah. a cooking podcast or people are writing down these hot tips. Mayo. That was the only tip.
Just mayo.
See, I was gonna come up with a show starting idea of my own, but it was simply to apologize for last
what?
Week's show, which is why I thought when you're calling me filthy, I was like, last week's show seemed a bit much.
What did we do last week?
We don't need to bring it up again.
Why, to refresh our memories and the viewers, what
I
was
felt
wrong
like there was
with
a lot
last
of profanity
week?
At the end of the show, and it was a little bit too...
Oh, would you say that you tainted the end of the show? Is that what's going on?
Perhaps there wasn't... Perhaps. We'll just not even... But I was thinking about this. I'm like, children may one day listen to this show, if they're not already.
I mean, at this point, again... It says explicit on the thing. We've made our brand known by now. If you're not cool with this, then like you shouldn't be letting your kids listen to it.
Because like maybe we should, for marketing purposes and to expand our audience, go PG with this show.
Fuck that.
I was like, the Fortnite game, I don't know. Can you curse on Fortnite?
Are you kidding me? Like there are like 11 and 12 year olds playing Fortnite. They probably curse more than we do.
So I was like, oh, like, if we need to appeal to that Fortnite market, we need, like, Disney references.
Do you understand what Fortnite is?
I mean, it's a cartoonish version of Battle Royale, but nobody dies. It's all good fun.
I mean...
And it's bright and shiny colors.
Ooh. You can... It's also, like, 12 and 13-year-old boys. Like, how did you act when you were 12?
No comment.
Did you want to watch Disney movies when you were 12?
Was I 12 when it... I think might have gotten busted by Playboy at that time.
Were you sneaking down and watching HBO and when your parents weren't looking?
So I think, no, I was probably like around 13, 14. The internet was getting big, but it was still the era of like AOL CD discs.
Yeah, and 56K.
Yes, the 56K with the EE. It might have even been 28.8K. But this was
the era. The real beginning of the internet.
When you had to like, when you were looking at pictures... You had to wait for each bit to, like, each line to kind of load up and stuff. But Playboy.com, I was like, oh, I don't have access to a Playboy. My parents don't have any Playboys. But if I go online, ooh. And then what I did not realize and what happened to a young Harvey Z was Playboy then called the house.
What?
I don't know how this happened. Because
I think
your parents
pulled a trick on you.
My parents sat me down and said, son... Have you been reading or watching or going on to Playboy.com? And I was like, no, why would you think that? And then my father sat me down and said, with my mom there as well, but was like, Playboy called the house asking if we wanted to subscribe because we had, like, we had a high usage.
How? I feel like that isn't information they should have been able to have.
I know, because I always tried to use all the free stuff, and I never gave my address or such away.
But, like, still, like, wait, did you actually put information in?
No, I never did.
Okay, yeah, so, like...
But somehow, like...
Well, I guess in that point, it was still dial-up, so you would use the phone line to connect. But
yes.
I guess that would be the only way. But
my takeaway from my parents were very upset with me, and they sat me down and said, "No more Playboy on the internet," and I said, "No, of course not." And then I learned what cookies were, and then I started deleting my cookies and private browser. Thank you.
But I don't think private browser existed back then.
No, but I made damn sure about the cookies business, because what the hell, Playboy called my house asking for a subscription because of the high usage.
I think we've got our episode title.
Playboy called my house?
Yeah.
Young Z.
So I like how you pivoted from, we should make this for the kids, to let me tell my story about how I went on Playboy.com when I was a kid.
I mean, now that's like practically PG. Yeah, you can't refute that. Yeah, it's still for the kids. Yeah,
I can't really, no.
The other problem was if I run for office.
Harvey Z running for office?
This could become a scandal.
Okay.
This podcast could ruin my election chances.
All right, so let's tally up exactly what could come back to haunt you. We've got the story of when you punched a child.
Self-defense.
The time where you stared down a guy that almost stabbed you over an arcade.
I was a victim there. That makes me actually sound pretty hard. Yeah. I mean, I did nothing wrong there.
Got your Playboy experiences. We've got a giant picture of you over on your at your parents' house that you sent them as a joke that they can bring up.
That I'm a connoisseur of the arts. That's okay. It was more of the tainted love and the language that we've been using. I feel like, it's just locker room talk. It's okay. My hopes to be first man are still on.
You want to go to Mars?
No,
I thought we were talking about political offices.
Yeah, I want to be the first man.
You'd be the first gentleman.
Is that what it is? Oh, okay.
Because it's the first lady, it would then be the first gentleman, right? You didn't say it's not the first woman.
Fair. I guess I have to be a gentleman. See, again, like that's why I'm like, if I have to be a gentleman, would this podcast sink my chances?
Yes.
Unless she's really that qualified. So you're not even but his podcast.
So you're not even trying to run for office. You're trying to get a sugar mama that's going to run for office?
A highly respected and intelligent woman, sir. She's no sugar mama. She just appreciates the finer things in life.
So Harvey Z, how's your dating life going?
We're still looking. By the way, if you're interested in office and aspiring political career,
and want a podcaster,
and you don't mind a little Z in your life, say hello.
Just a little Z, no.
No, it's a capital Z. Big Z. Full Z. There's no problem with my Z. It can write in cursive.
What? That doesn't even make any sense.
They know.
No, they don't. I want you to explain this to me. How does the Z write in cursive?
Locker room talk. We can't ruin my election year hopes.
Is it Comic Sans or Arial?
Sir, Comic Sans, you insult me. No. It's not Wingdings either.
Wingdings would be perfect.
Have some class here. I'm not even going to ask you your font then.
God, what's that one called? I can't even remember it. Anyway, I'm not... this is going...
Arial Black.
No, cut that one.
We're talking about fonts now here. We're intellectuals. We've moved away from locker room talk.
Times New Roman?
Too generic. I mean, that's just like... No. If she wants the Z...
Lucida Sans? Is that how you pronounce it?
I have no idea. Now I'm actually thinking...
Verdana?
Oh.
Courier? New Courier? Or is it Courier New?
Courier New, but no.
Too blocky, I think. Impact. Yes.
See, this is what I was like. Impact is a nice choice. Certainly not Sam. Now I'm like, which font is it? What is the most descriptive font? We'll have to get back to that one, folks.
Isn't there one called Trebuchet?
There is. I am a fan of Trebuchet.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a bad one.
That's a load carrying font if I've ever heard one. Okay, so we actually talk about games on this podcast sometimes.
Yes. That was just like an extended intro.
Listen, if you wanted more intro, you got it. This is just Harvey Z and T-Man freeballing it about fonts and mustard and
mayo, grilling tips, frying tips. Font discussions, though. Now it's in the back of. Please send us your favorite fonts.
So
please no pictures. Just tell us what the font is.
Yeah, we just need to know what the font
no
name
font
is.
Picks. No font pics.
No font pics, please. Oh, Jesus.
We should start the show.
We should, at one point, we should just do an entire hour of just this. Like, no games, just...
Like an April Fool's episode
or something. Yeah, just random shit. So there was, like, a lot of weird news this week. I don't know, like, there wasn't anything big, but there were a lot of little random things. Like, did you see the live-action Sonic the Hedgehog leak?
Link? I mean, I've seen the live-action Sonic picture.
Yeah. Like, well, it hasn't been officially released yet. This was, like, a leak that was...
Didn't this happen, like, a month ago?
No, like, the official... So, like, the poster came out, like, a month or two ago. But, like, the official full look at him hasn't been revealed yet, and it got leaked from, like, promotional materials or something.
I feel like I've been looking at, like, weird Sonic... This might be in, like, the wrestling world as well, but, like...
Are you sure you just weren't, like, looking at, like, a Sonic fan site?
Like, it was a CGI freakish-looking Sonic with, like, large calves?
So, like, the original poster that came out, it didn't, like, have his face. It was, like, a... shadowed version of him, like a silhouette, and so they got like the freakish dimensions already,
okay,
but they hadn't like shown his actual face and what it officially looked like, and so that was leaked sometime this week. It might have been late last weekend, I don't know.
Then
but
yes,
it's a recent
I think I have seen the odd Sonic, and does he have freakishly large calves?
Yes. Yeah, it's not great. It's definitely on the other end of the Detective Pikachu spectrum. Like,
so not adorable.
Not adorable. I'm not... Sonic is one of those characters that, like, can only work in, like, regular animation or... Because, like, they're trying to make him too realistic.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, they're trying to match him with real people, and it's just never going to work like that. It needs to be, like, full animation.
Sonic? Do they say that? Or,
like,
the voice?
The guy that's voicing him, I can't remember his name. He played John Ralphio on Parks and Rec. It's, like, Ben something. I can't remember his last name. But I think he voiced... one of the Ninja Turtles in one of the cartoons.
So he has...
He's done voice work before, yeah.
So I'm just trying to think of, like, did you watch Sonic the cartoon as a kid?
Oh, no. No, I mean, I was never big on Sonic. I wasn't a Sega guy.
Yeah. I was a Sega guy, and so Sonic was cool and everything. I used to call him Smarty Pants because I didn't know when I was a little kid.
What? Why?
I was 8 years old, and for some reason, I thought the name of the character was Smarty Pants. So I'd go to, like, back in the day where they had the gaming arcades where you could, like, go in and, like, rent a Sega in front of a big screen TV and sit there for, like, an hour and play games. Like, I'd go and I'd be like, I want to play Mr. Smarty Pants. And, like, my dad would be like, he wants Smarty Pants. And then the guy would just, like, look at me and I'd be like, that one. And I was 8, so give me a break, but it would point to the Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay, 8 is enough that you should be able to read.
But it was, nope, I didn't read. I mean, I actually read quite, at like 8th grade, I was reading like Stephen King, but I thought it was Mr. Smarty Pants.
So you just ignored what your eyes told you and went with what your brain said?
I think it was
because... That tracks.
That tracks. Yeah, I was like, listening, this is, no. But the main thing, I think it was because back then the TV commercials were like, he's a Smarty Pants or something, and he would be like this wisecracking guy, but they used the word Smarty Pants somewhere, and for some reason my brain was like, that's Smarty Pants. And Sonic is just simply the speed that he travels at, of course.
So it was like a verb. It was like Sonic the Hedgehog. Like, he was going so fast. Just like...
Whoosh. Yeah.
Okay. And,
but for some reason... Yeah, now I look back at embarrassment, Daddy. But yeah, it's Mr. Smarty Pants. Sega. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so that's what they're going to call you when your wife runs for office, right? Mr. Smarty Pants?
I would take that as an honor. Mr. Smarty Pants. But I'd always have to turn it back to, she's the real Smarty Pants.
Ah. See, look, you've already got the schmoozing going
on. I know.
You're ready to go.
I need the aspiring political careers.
Yeah. I've never been a huge fan of Sonic the Hedgehog, so I am probably not going to be seeing this movie.
I mean, I am a fan. I'm not going to be seeing this movie
either.
Yeah,
there's limits to what I will see, and this is one of those limits. Like, I'm not going to just shill out money for every video game movie.
What if they got an awesome Dr. Robotnik or Professor whatever Egghead he's called?
Isn't Jim Carrey doing it or something?
Is he? I did not know that.
Give me one second.
That might be awesome enough then. Hmm. So I would have thought like a Christopher Walken could have worked.
Okay, so the guy's name is Ben Schwartz is voicing Sonic. So I did get that right. And yeah, Jim Carrey was cast as Dr. Robotnik.
It has doubled my interest. I don't know if that's still enough, though.
And Cyclops from the original X-Men movies, James Marsden, he is going to be playing the main character who teams up with Sonic. Like, to random... No, oh, just like the random ass human guy. That it's a live action movie. It takes place in Green Hills, the city.
So again, as a child, I would have loved this, having watched like the Mario Brothers with John Leguizamo. Great movie, but like now it's...
Oh, no. Oh, okay. Hold on. Stop.
I think we've had this argument
before. Yeah, we've definitely had this argument before, but I have to reiterate, no.
So bad it was good?
So bad it like... There are movies that are so bad they become cult classics, like Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Those are so bad it's good.
Manos actually. The Hand of Fate. That one movie that I can't remember the name of where Dana Carvey is a turtle.
No. Okay. Hang on. You think this only because our roommate promoted it as such. It is shit. It is shit. Master of this.
I've made that. I've watched that.
There's one funny portion in that entire thing. The rest of it is really painful.
So my two friends made me watch that shitty movie, and they realized at the end of the movie, I didn't laugh once the entire time, and they were laughing at my non-reactions and how disgusted I was.
Oh, that's the only reason we tried to make you watch it. Because I knew. But yes. Generic Johnson, I believe, was the one who loved this movie.
Yeah, I think it was Over Bob and one of my other friends who finally got me to watch it. It was, that movie is terrible.
It's really bad.
But
I laughed
Super Mario Brothers is at that level.
There was action, there was romance, there was drama, and there was a really, I like the ending. I think that's why. I really like the ending of Super Mario Brothers.
Explain fucking Yoshi then.
No, that's not the ending. I didn't say that. I liked just a little ba-bomb. As a child, I liked it. Now I'm like, oh, it's cliched. But that ending, back then, I was like, oh, this is such a twist. The ba-bomb that was in the background the whole time, just walking along, that actually solves the whole thing. And blows up. But it's like, just throughout the movie, just walking, 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 and then monologue, monologue, and oh, how will we beat the evil Bowser? And then the ba-bomb blows up. It happens to be right behind him. Spoilers. And I was like, as a kid, I never saw that coming. Genius.
Oh, man. Have I got a bridge to sell younger you.
Again, young Harvey Z. He had some growing up to do.
Lowercase z was not some of your finer moments, huh?
No. The little z. Yeah. Little z when he was... But he grew. He's fine.
Yeah. No. Super Mario Brothers is bad. So, like, I have some video game movies that I...
I'm trying consider to think now of an actual legit.
I know they're bad movies, but I still like them.
Street Fighter?
Street Fighter, like, Raul has Julia. Some real quotable... Yeah, like, Raul Julia is great. Like, the whole, for me, it was a Tuesday. Like, yes. That line...
It's been used so many other places. Like, even... I think it was in Guardians of the Galaxy, even. He says it to, I wanted to say Batista's character.
What?
It's parodied in, what's his name? Batista's character. He's the guy
Drax?
Drax, yes. Wow, I know the wrestler better, or the actor. But the Drax, when he goes up to the guy and he was like, you murdered
right.
So it's that line is so badass that it's used everywhere. But yes, the first place I heard it was,
Yeah, of course, Street Fighter. That, I mean, that's a good line. Would it Raul be- Julia hamming it up as M. Bison is like the highlight of that movie.
That's true. All of my moments are M. Bison moments.
Yeah. The rest of the movie was kind of shitty.
Now I'm trying to think. Is there a good video? Oh, we did this.
We did this already. We've done this before. Like Doom. No, Doom isn't a good movie. It's an entertaining movie. Like it is.
But, I mean, isn't that good enough to be good? I mean, or are you talking like award winning? Like
I don't mean award winning. Like
because I don't know if there is a video game movie that's ever been that acclaimed.
So first of all, no, there hasn't. But I'm not talking about like award winning or things like that, because like there are movies that are good movies, and then there are movies that are entertaining but also not good.
And I'm putting a separate cult of so bad, so good or such.
Yeah, and then so bad they're and good is
entertaining
also
is
different.
Not because they're so bad that they're good. That's different. Entertaining was I went in, I thought it would be mindless, but it was fun and I enjoyed it all the way through.
Yeah.
I would still like Doom was a, I mean, it wasn't a great movie. There were cheesy parts, but I enjoyed it. It was a good popcorn flick.
That's what, like, popcorn flicks that are entertaining. You know they're not, like, going to be inspiring deep thoughts and not going to make you cry or, like, have wild emotions.
But you don't walk out going, like, eh, okay, yeah. Or that was a waste of my money. It was I had a good time.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another good video game movie, then, that's equal to.
So I personally like Hitman. The first one, not Agent 47. Agent 47 was bad, but the first Hitman is just so deliciously cheesy.
Better than, so for me, who hasn't seen it, better than Street Fighter, probably yes, but better than Doom?
Not better than Doom, but I like Hitman.
Because you probably like the source material more.
Yeah. Trying to think what else there was.
There was one. What about, so the Resident Evil series? I actually kind of like the first couple.
I think I've only seen the first one. I didn't really watch any of the others.
So it follows a trope that I like, actually. Like, as you've talked about T-Man movies, I realize, like, it's not quite a Harvey Z movie, but I like the series of battles leading up to various boss battles that leads to a final confrontation boss battle. Or, like, the Odyssey-type journeys, where you have to go through and beat several, like, mini-bosses to get to a big boss. I enjoy those types of journey movies. Resident Evil is, like, escape from the compound.
Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat is the best video game movie.
It is like, real, real good. Yeah, like, I even like Mortal Kombat 2, which I know a lot of people.
Okay, that's like the mayo of video game movie condiments. Like, no one likes it. You're weird.
It's, again, I saw it as a kid. I really liked it. Reptile was in it. There was like a CGI reptile monster at some point.
That's the first one.
Wait, what happens in the second one?
Yeah, that's what I, like, all the stuff that you like is probably from the first movie.
No, Reptile was in
the... Reptile was the first movie. Second movie had...
Jax was in the second movie.
Jax was in the second.
Sindel was in the second, yeah.
Yeah, Motaro, the centaur.
Yeah, no.
Ermac and Jade and Nightwolf and...
Okay. I feel like I liked it because it continued part one.
Smoke and Cyrax.
It was just a continuation of like the first one, and it was like...
I mean, yes, it was a continuation, but like it was also a shitty movie. Like a while ago, I watched both of them back to back, and like the drop in quality is amazing.
Truths here. How do you feel? Ghostbusters 1 to Ghostbusters 2. I love those movies, both of them, and then I watched them back to back.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Ghostbusters 2 is just Ghostbusters again.
It's almost
like shot for shot. It's
similar jokes, similar. It was
like they break up the Sigourney Weaver and Bill Murray just so they can have the same story beats with them and everything. Like it was
a hard like truth for me to swallow because I was like, I love Ghostbusters 2, and then I watched it, and if you watch it right after watching one, it really doesn't sit well. Like as a kid, I would have loved it, but
you probably didn't see it, but someone mashed up Ghostbusters 2 with Velvet Buzzsaw, the art movie that we made like a trailer of combining the two, and I thought that was pretty great.
I think that could, because it's just the Ghostbusters reacting to like crazy stuff.
No, it's the other thing around. It's the other way around. It's them, and it's like the Viggo. Is it Viggo?
Yeah,
Viggo. Yeah, like the paintings coming alive and like the people afraid of Vigo and things like that.
As a kid, I thought it was such a great, scary, action-packed movie, and then I watched it as an adult. Yeah. Another one, hard truth, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1 versus 2.
One is like top 10 dark movie for as me. Fuck.
Love it.
Yeah, like it's I still surprising cry. How dark that movie is.
Yes.
And 2 was like campy.
Perfect for like young me as a kid who didn't get any of the darkness from 1, but was just like, more Ninja Turtles. Awesome. And there's more monsters to fight. Awesome. I love this.
Like, 2 was so weird to me because they had the template of Bebop and Rocksteady. And then they just made up Taka and Rezar instead. Yep. It was weird, but like, fucking Super Shredder was pretty awesome.
Super Shredder.
Yeah.
Played by WWF at that time, superstar Big Daddy Cool, Kevin Nash, which when I got older, I was like, yes, this is awesome. He's just a big, muscular guy. He fits the body very well.
Uh-huh.
Oh, like random go wrestling.
Ninja, go connection. Ninja, go.
Was that
go
the one ninja, with Vanilla Ice ninja. In it?
Yeah.
The
yeah.
second one? Not second the first one. Yeah.
Second one had all the campy stuff. The first one was still kind of campy. First one has one of my favorite lines from any of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's when they're looking for Raph.
Uh-huh.
And they're like exploring. It's like, it's quiet. A little too quiet. And then they say something else. And then they find Raph. And Donatello goes, it's Raph. And Michelangelo goes, yeah, a little too Raph. That line as an adult took me by surprise and like killed me. I didn't remember it, but then on rewatch like later, oh god, I love that line. And then so that we agree that 3 was shit though, right?
Even as a kid, I was like, what is this?
Yeah, okay. So three
was
we agree
rough.
On.
And it was now, way too mic heavy, I think. It focused a lot on Mikey. The others didn't get as like one was Raph heavy.
Yeah,
I
one
loved.
Was Raph heavy. I don't remember if there was a just, focus
no.
on
well,
in
no,
2.
There wasn't really a focus on 2.
And I just don't remember 3. I just remember it being terrible. And I'm a fan of Mikey. So
like 3, I don't remember the Japanese sequences. I just remember Casey.
Wait, didn't he like fall in love with like a woman?
Yeah,
or something. Yeah, okay, it's starting
like,
to come back to me.
There was like this. It wasn't. I don't know if it was a love story. I haven't rewatched it because I know it was pretty bad. I just remember all the scenes of Casey Jones with like 4 Japanese dudes.
Yeah, yeah. Because the
whole time.
Ones that he took.
Then
so okay. Now so here's the important question, because I think we saw this movie together, or at least we both saw it. The animated TMNT film that came out.
Animated one.
The one that was like...
Yeah.
That took place like in the future, kind of. And like Raph was like a solo dude. What did you think of that one?
I thought it was better than 3, better than 2. Not like an amazing movie, but it was a good... Maybe that would fall in that popcorn category.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I walked away, this was fine. Better than the cartoons as a child, which I loved, are now rough to watch now.
Yeah, that's like all the cartoons, like the early 90s cartoons that I loved as a kid are kind of hard to watch now.
Yeah. Like that's...
The X-Men...
Wait, X-Men still holds up. The X-Men ones?
Like, are you sure?
I rewatched them, actually. Some of the lines are over-the-top cheesy. But it's actually pretty accurate as well to, like, the comic books, which is why I really like them. But, yes, like, I have a friend with a running joke with it where, like, the, what are the giant robots called? The
Sentinels?
Yeah, the Sentinels. There's this one weird line where there's a Sentinel, and he's plugged into the wall, literally with a wire and stuff. He's charging up, and, like, the building is collapsing and stuff, and, like, they're all running away because they just blew up this factory. I think it was in Jamaica as well. Like, it was Rogue, Jubilee. It was a little... That one was a weird side story. I'll give you that one. But, like, his line is he's trying to get up, and he's like, wait, I'm still plugged in. And because of that, like, the whole building collapses around him. And that's how they destroy the Sentinels. Such a great random last line. It's so bad. But, like, yeah, that part was cheesy. But, again, the rest of it was so, like... Again, as a kid, I was like, oh, this feels like an adult cartoon show, though.
Okay.
Now as an adult, maybe not. But, like, my perception, again, as young Z was like... Whoa, this is edgy. This is violent. This is hardcore.
Ooh, X-Men, very edgy.
Yes. Yeah. And I probably phased out the, I'm still plugged in. I'm still trying to think of good movies now, actually, besides the Resident Evil one.
There was the Silent Hill movies.
Never watched those. Silent Hill's too scary for me.
There was the Angelina Jolie Tomb Raider movies.
I've never really watched them all the way through. I've seen bits and pieces, but it's never caught my attention. Did you watch the new Tomb Raider?
Yes, I did see the new Tomb Raider. I also saw the Rampage movie with The Rock in it.
I want to see it. Please say it's good. Don't tell me if it's not. I want to see it. I'll love it more than you would. You don't understand.
You don't know Rampage like I do? Yeah. Is that what's going on here?
That was my jam as a kid.
You'll be disappointed.
No.
Like, if you actually liked the arcade stuff, you'll be disappointed.
He said he was true to the game.
No. In no way, other than the fact there are three giant animals terrorizing a city. And that doesn't happen until the climax.
No. No. Don't. I had high hopes for it.
I mean, okay, it wasn't a terrible movie. There were some good parts, but watching that movie is one of those cases where you see how it could have been so much better if they had just like tweaked things around and not made the centerpiece of the movie a man and his gorilla and how strong they're bonded.
Okay, George,
like when the giant animals actually start fighting, it's fucking awesome,
but they delayed it. Okay,
yeah,
well, fair enough. I'm trying to think other good.
There's a Prince of Persia with Jake Gyllenhaal.
I don't know. I know we've gone over the Gyllenhaal thing. Haven't seen that movie then.
No, that one was a special movie. I saw that one. Classic white guy playing Prince of Persia.
Yeah, okay.
No idea what they were doing sort of movie.
I'm going to ask then, which movie for you where you had such high hopes because it's a video game franchise you loved?
Oh, that one's easy. Max Payne. That movie was shit. And the game is so good. Like, the game is, like, this awesome masterpiece of, like, noir storytelling and just, like, weird-ass shit going on. And then the movie is just, like, this boring, like, even the action is boring. And, they could have had this great noir setting and it's ruined by Mark Wahlberg being Mark Wahlberg. Like, he can't be a noir detective. Like, it's, no.
It's Marky Mark. He could. Maybe he could pull it off. No?
No. That's why I'm so glad that the version of Uncharted where Mark Wahlberg was going to play Nathan Drake never came about. Like, that was... Have I told you about that?
You told me that somebody made, like, a fan video thing or something.
No, so that was Nathan Fillion.
Ah.
There was, like, a 10 to 15 minute, like, fan film done with by someone who really liked the game, where Nathan Fillion played Nathan Drake, and that was really good. That was like faithful to the game and everything. But I think it was David O. Russell, I want to say, was the director, and he's like friends with Mark Wahlberg or something. So he cast Mark Wahlberg as Nathan Drake, and then he cast Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci as Nathan Drake's uncles. And it was supposed to, or like Robert De Niro was going to be his father or something like that. And those characters don't even exist in the game.
Yeah.
But he wanted to make it like a family, you know, adventure story or bonding and some stupid shit. Like, so he clearly had no idea what the games were about. No actual wanting to tell a story based on the games. He was just like, I want to do some shit. And they gave me this Uncharted license, and I guess I'm gonna do this shit. And I'm really glad that ended up falling through and not happening. Currently, like, for the last couple years, Tom Holland, Spider-Man, is attached to do like a younger, like they're going to do Uncharted, but like a younger Drake. Like,
why?
I mean, it sounds like more faithful to the games because there are points in the games where you play as like younger Nathan. So it could be like a neat idea if they...
Isn't the series though really like popular because they have like one really badass villain?
What?
Isn't there like a villain that's super popular in it or something in like Uncharted 3, or is that
from Uncharted? No, the villains haven't really been anything.
There's like some Mohawk guy who's like a psychopath is like... I just remember it was... Am I thinking of Far Cry?
Yes, that's Far Cry 3.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with Uncharted.
Again,
that's the definition of insanity guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's Far Cry 3.
Like, the two franchises kind of blur together, except I know Far Cry, I think, is a little bit more popular.
Uncharted Okay. All right. First of all, I've got to clear something up here because
you seem passionate about Uncharted.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, no, and everything you said is wrong. Uncharted is a third-person adventure game, linear story. Far Cry's are open-world, first-person shooter games.
Okay.
Usually very Ubisoft, and like you go around like checkpoints, and there's like lots of side quests and missions and driving and doing all sorts of stuff like that. So the gameplay is very different. Like Uncharted is usually lots of big action set pieces. Very cool, like things that really stood out at the time, where like in most other games it would be a cutscene, but you actually got to play through it. Like you were like jumping in between cars and doing all this crazy shit that would normally just be like an action cutscene, and then you'd like go back to like shooting regularly after it was over with. And so those are very different games. And arguing that Far Cry is more popular than Uncharted is kind of...
like, I think I hear more, I know... Like, every time I think of Uncharted, I just think of Far Cry. And that's what I've been...
And I think that's just because you don't play games.
Because that's true.
Anyone else, like, they... Like, Far Cry 3 takes place in a jungle, I think.
Yeah.
And Uncharted sometimes takes place in jungles. Like, that's the only...
Oh, it doesn't. Like, when you said cars and stuff, I was like, I didn't know Uncharted had cars.
Well, I mean, yeah, they have cars. See, that's the thing. It's like, so Uncharted is basically Indiana Jones, the video game.
Okay.
Yeah, like he's a treasure hunter. You go, like, find, like, Shangri-La or...
Is this different? How is it different from Tomb Raider?
It's male Tomb Raider.
That's... Because in my head, I'm like, is this just male Tomb Raider?
It's weird because... So Tomb Raider was obviously first.
Yeah.
But the original Tomb Raiders, I didn't really play a lot of them, so... I'm not a foremost expert on this, but like the original Tomb Raiders were a lot about exploring tombs and solving puzzles and not really focused on combat.
Yeah.
Like there was combat, but it wasn't like the focus. You're like exploring and figuring this out and things like that. And then Uncharted came along and it was kind of male Lara Croft, but it was much more action heavy. There were set pieces, like there were some puzzles, but not a lot. A lot of quippy dialogue between, you know, so it was a lot more Indiana Jones-esque, where like the action was the focus as opposed to like exploration and solving puzzles.
Okay.
And then Tomb Raider was rebooted and became more like Uncharted and like got rid of the exploration and tombs and things like that. And puzzles, and became more focused on like combat and survival and that sort of thing. And a lot of people were fans of the original Tomb Raiders got upset because they were like, well, we want the old games. Like, don't give us Uncharted. We already have Uncharted. We don't need more Uncharted. So it's interesting that you brought up the, is this Tomb Raider? Because there was like clear delineations where one was inspired by the other and then became inspired by the...
And then
like,
it became the very
like,
thing.
Kind of like this big, what your favorite word, the Ouroboros, where it was going around.
I'm pleased that you used that. Yes, the Ouroboros. And it fits the Tomb Raider theme. Anyway.
Yeah. So yeah, the latest Tomb Raider movie, back to that question you asked me about, like that if I had seen it, it was okay. Like... The problem is, in the original games, Lara was already a independent woman, sort of. Like, she was strong, she explored
this
tombs.
This is like the prequel, though.
Well, so, the thing is, like, the story in the games, from what I understand, is that, like, her dad was an explorer, she goes missing, or he goes missing, and, like, she takes over the tomb raiding business or whatever, like inherits a giant mansion, goes exploring, blah blah blah. And so in both the current reboot and the movie reboot, and I think maybe even the original Angelina Jolie movies too, although I'm not as familiar with them, the daddy issues is kind of like the giant pathos. And so like movie writers and whatever will seize on that. And so like they made like her dad and like things like that focal points in like all three of the new Tomb Raider games and the Tomb Raider reboot movie. And
so
people
she's
are
no
just,
longer like super strong and independent.
She's got like father issues and like they focus on that and kind of like demeans her character a little bit. And the movie itself, it's just so Like, the last third of the movie, they're actually exploring a tomb. And, like, when it gets to that part, it's amazing. The last third of the movie, if the entire movie was like that, it would have been, like, a top-tier video game movie.
Oh.
Like, the last third I really enjoyed. But the first two-thirds are just boring bullshit that nobody cares about. Like, the first action scene is fucking Lara doing a bike race through London. And it's like she's carrying like a paint thing and like people are trying to catch her.
So when you describe this, the movie that comes to mind exactly for this, Raiders of the Lost Ark? No, nope. It's The Last Crusade. Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. One of my favorite. Actually,
well, I love Last Crusade, but I'm trying to figure out where you're going with
this. So that one, it has like four or five different action beats in it that are almost, yes, they're chasing for the Grail. Or the is it yeah they're chasing for the
yeah,
Grail.
This one's a Grail.
It starts off with like a museum sequence, then there's an escape from the museum sequence, there's a boat sequence, then there's another like it's a series of almost vignettes back to back to back.
But
a tank battle occurs
yeah,
at one point,
but like,
and then there's the tomb exploration at the end, but that's not the whole movie.
No, but like at least all that stuff has to do with like Nazis and whatever and things like that. What I was trying to say is that this has absolutely nothing to do with the plot.
She doesn't have the like, map and she's running away. And
no. She's like, it's a mail courier that, and her other mail courier friends don't think she's a good cyclist. So they challenge her to this thing where she has, she's like carrying a paint can on her bike that like leaks paint so everyone can follow her. And she's got like flags around her. So like she has to pedal and lose them or something or get somewhere without them catching her. But they can follow her because of the paint trail. And like, it's just, it takes up like 10 to 15 minutes of the movie. No one cares about this. This isn't interesting. This doesn't have anything to do with, none of these characters come up again except for Lara. Why are you doing this? Like,
it feels like
fucking they, Tomb Raider. It's in the title. It's, like, you're so close.
This is a, I'm not going to complain about the movie itself. Like, listening to that, I'm like, this trope happens everywhere else. James Bond movies are notorious for this. Bond is a badass. He chases down somebody. The one I'm thinking of is like, he does parkour all, and then he chases down somebody as such. And then they have the opening title sequence, and then they go to the rest of the movie kind of thing. But there's like this opening action-packed sequence. And okay. You're like, ah, this is a badass. Yes, let's watch him be a badass.
Yeah, but like,
we know who that is.
No, like, at the very least, a lot of times that has something to do with the plot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he does parkour because he's going after a guy that, like, has, like, a bomb or something that's related to what's going on in the movie. Like, it's not just James Bond decided to do parkour through London because Moneypenny challenged him to a race. And he, like, you don't need that. Oh, God, it's just, I don't know.
Establishing your character as a badass by having, like, this random little sequence.
Like, you can establish her as a badass by having her do something awesome at the island or in a tomb. Like, have her exploring a fucking tomb and being a badass. Tomb fucking Raider. Like, it's in the title. It's not fucking Bicycle Chase. Like, I don't want to watch that movie. Well, actually, that was
Did you watch that movie? That's why I'm like, did that movie just come out when this movie came out or was being made?
No. God, no. The one I'm thinking of is the Joseph Gordon-Levitt one. That one's from a while ago. I did watch that movie. That one was interesting.
I wanted to see it, but yes.
I don't remember anything about it. It's one of those movies that I watched and I was like, okay. I think I like Redboxed it or something.
Not a popcorn movie then?
Probably not.
Less on the enjoyable scale.
I don't think it was bad, but it was a perfectly forgettable movie. Like, I would have not ever thought of that movie in my life until I said Bicycle Chase.
Yes. The whole time when you were saying the bike sequence thing, I was like, there was a bike movie about this, I think. Is this related to that? Were they trying to cash in?
Yeah. Before we...
I had a random Far Cry question, actually.
Well, I had something I wanted to talk about.
It's a one-point question.
Okay.
There's a new Far Cry coming out?
Far Cry New Dawn. It just came out like a couple weeks ago.
Is it a sequel to the previous Far Cry?
Sort of.
Okay, that's all.
Yeah, so Far Cry 5 came out last year, and then this new one's called Far Cry New Dawn, and it's like a post-apocalypse, and I don't know if it plays off the actual ending or if it's like a you know, like alternate universe, like what happens if the bad guys won and like nukes were set off and now we're in post-apocalypse, because it takes place in the same county that Far Cry 5 did, just like 30 years later, and it's nuclear wasteland or something.
That's what I had thought. That's why I was like, this seems, is it related? Is it not? I don't know. So I was just going to ask. There you go.
No, that's all the information I have on it, because I don't fucking care about that game. Like,
that game let you down hard, I think.
Yeah, that one, I was so pumped for that after like the initial information and release. Mm-hmm. And I got that game, and it was just
a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Sometimes it happens, though. Sometimes you go for it, and you don't get what you want. Anyway, let's talk about a game that I am actually enjoying. I kind of briefly touched on it last week, but I had only just started playing it and didn't have as much information. But now I have plenty more information, and I really want to share it.
Okay.
So I've been playing BattleTech. Mm-hmm. And it is such a good game. I'm really into it now. It's become like a shit. It's 2 a.m. I need to stop playing kind of game. Okay. Like one more mission. I'm just going to do one more thing. Like just let the time go another week and then we'll be good. Oh shit. Another mission came up. Okay. I'll do this one.
Mm-hmm.
So you had questions last week about like customization and things like that. And so after playing more of it, what I've discovered is, so when the game starts, you kind of customize your commander character. So you can have like whoever your main character is going to be has the most customization options. Like you can change their face, their everything, and all that sort of stuff. Then there are some characters, like once you start the main story, you get all the characters in your squad at that point are these kind of special, unique characters that will have like story beats come up and things like that. And if you like, if they die or if you lose them, they won't show up ever again. Like they're just gone for good. Okay. While there are other characters that you can hire and they're just kind of like grunts and you can customize them the way you want to.
Red shirts.
Yeah, the red shirts. And so I made you as one of my like customizable people. So there is like limited customization. Mm-hmm. When you hire somebody, you can't change their face or like their gender or anything. So if you want to make a female person or if you want to make a male person or whoever you want, like you have to like kind of look to begin with and like, all right, this base is good enough for me to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But it allows you like change their hair and facial hair, tattoos, scars, things like that. So there's a little bit of customization and it's very interesting. Like I really like it. Like the way it basically works is there's like a story you're playing through. There's a campaign story, but in between story missions you have to take on like these mercenary missions. And that's where you like make your money, and every time you take a mission there's two sliders. One of them is like credits or money, and that's like your account, and then the other is salvage. And so from each mission, you get a certain amount of salvage based on where the slider is. And so you can either get like a ton of money and only a little bit of salvage, or a lot of salvage but only a little bit of money, you know.
Okay, so you can actually slide the bars yourself.
You get to choose how much you get from each mission. And so some missions, like you might be real low on money, so you're like, I just want money from this. I don't care about the salvage. And others, you might be like, well, there's potential for a shit ton of salvage on this one, so I'm going to get as much as I can. And the salvage can be anything from like mech parts to guns to ammo for your guns. And the way it's divided is that you get to choose a small amount. So it's like, on average, what I've been getting is I get to choose two pieces of salvage specifically, and then I get 6 more random pieces of salvage for a total of 8 things from this mission. In the difficulty I'm playing at, I think it changes by difficulty. Once you get 3 mech parts for a specific kind of mech, you can then build that mech.
Oh, okay.
And so you can add that mech to your fleet or whatever.
Mm-hmm. How many mechs do you take into battle?
4. You have a max of 4 mechs per battle.
Okay.
In the game, they're called lances, and a lance is made up of 4 mechs, so you can only ever deploy 1 lance of mechs at a time based on your ship or whatever that you're piloting. And so a lot of the management part, like XCOM, it's divided into missions and then like world management.
Because you said like a few more hours or so, and I was like, that's XCOM-y language to me.
Yeah. Your team on your ship can only be repairing or refitting one mech at a time. So like if you want to build a new mech, that's what they're doing for X amount of days. And so if a mech gets blasted apart in battle, like if you lose an arm, you have to repair the arm, but it takes time. And if something like if your arm gets blown off in battle, then you lose whatever guns were on that arm. And so you have to replace the guns and all of that takes time and money. And you can, since you can only be do one at a time, if you go into a battle and you and four of your mechs and all of them get injured, you're down to two mechs because you can only have. So it starts out with you can only have up to six mechs active at a time in your bay.
Okay.
And you can eventually upgrade and have more. I'm currently, I've upgraded to 12, but I haven't been able to build any new mechs to actually go in there yet.
Can you send out broken mechs into battle?
You can. It's not recommended, but you can.
The Harvey Z method will live on, man. Guys.
Yeah.
We took a beating.
The good news is, unlike XCOM, there's a lot less, as far as I've played so far, it might change later, but there isn't like that pressure of like the Avatar project or something where you have to finish it in a certain amount of time, otherwise you're dead. So like the only kind of countdown you have is every month you pay salaries and like upkeep for mechs. So like I'm currently averaging like 300,000 ish a month is how much I have to pay for mech upkeep plus ship upkeep plus all my guys' salaries. And like if you run out of money, you have problems. I haven't found out what those problems are yet because I've been able to stay in the black. Stay in the black, yeah. I've been cutting it close. Like so it's one of those things where it's just like I had all my mechs like all topped up. They were all good. All my soldiers were healthy. So like, all right, I'm gonna do the story mission because I'm all ready to go. And first part of that mission was fine. I was just fighting vehicles. There was turrets, but I had good strategy, and we were breaking into a prison, right? Okay. So like I took out all the outside guards. I took some minor damage, but everything was still functioning fine. I hadn't lost any arms or legs. All my mechs were good. Then we break into the prison, and it fucking turns out these prisoners have a whole lance of mechs on their own, and they haven't been in any battles, and they've just been sitting in the prison. So now I've suddenly got to take on these four, like, topped-up mechs. Well, I'm kind of, like, at not full... I'm not, like, desperate, but I've already used... Like, my armor is starting to get a little low. And so that was, like, a scrappy battle. Like, by the end of it, one of my mechs had no arms and was, like, so it lost all its weaponry. So it was just running around headbutting the other mechs, like, doing melee attacks on it. One mech went down completely. My guy ended up injured for, like, 150 days or something like that. It was one of those scrappy battles where, like, I pulled through. Like, none of my mechs got out of that without losing a limb. And I had lost so much weaponry, and I was like, I had like so much money, and I was good. All of it went to that, to fucking repairing all my mechs.
Are there a variety in the combat situations, enemies, stuff like that, that it's, or is it kind of like, oh, it's this guy again, this is how you beat it. Oh, it's this.
I mean, sort of. So there are four types of mechs. There's light mechs, medium mechs, heavy mechs, and assault mechs. And obviously, the bigger you go, the more they weigh, the more they cost, the more armored they are. So far, I've only fought light and medium mechs. Like, so I'm still in the kind of the early game. But then on top of mechs, you have like turrets and vehicles and other random, like mechs are the serious things that you have to plan around. And then on top of that, there's like all sorts of different versions of mechs. Like there's 10 or so light mechs at the very least, like, or at least I've run into like at least six, and I feel like there's going to be more than just the six I've run into. But like one's called Firestarter, and it has like flamethrowers, and its job is to like get up close and use the flamethrowers on it so it overheats your mech, and so you like it, you take heat damage. So like that's one of the things you have to manage is using your weapons too much. If they run too hot, like it'll overheat, deal damage to the mech. Got to wait for it to cool down. so the flame fire starter runs up and like overheats your mech, and so you've got to like defend against that. Versus this one called the Panther, which is like a kind of like long range sniper mech that has like this real powerful energy weapon. So it kind of hangs in the back line and fires the energy weapon at you. But you can't close into it because there's like a medium sized bruiser mech that can like punch you or has like, you know, there was one called the Trebuchet. We talked about that earlier. Yes. And that one has like a shit ton of missiles. Like that was one of the ones that like fucked up me in the prison. Like I had not seen that mech before, and it came out and it just lost like 50 missiles at my guy and like completely destroyed it.
Mm-hmm. And your mechs don't have to, you can customize them.
So like the way the mechs work is each mech has different versions of it. It's not even one mech, it has one particular thing. There's like the Locust D and the Locust R and things like that. And what that designation is it changes like what can be put on them. So like certain mechs, one version of the mech might only be able to have energy weapons on its arms, while another one might be able to shoot missiles from the arms or have missiles and energy weapons. And the armor might be slightly different. Like one version of a mech might be able to, you may be able to have it more armored version, so it's tougher to take down, but another one might only have light armor capability. And the trade-off is weight. You can't send out a mech if it's above the weight limit. So, and like lights have the lowest weight limit, medium has a slightly higher. So obviously in a heavy and assault ones, you'll be able to put more weapons and more armor on because they can carry more weight.
Now, so I used to play mech. It was I can't remember. There was a series on like mech type games when I was like younger. One of the things in that one was the geometry mattered.
I mean, yeah, you need line of sight.
No. I mean, to customize your mech, like it would have like a grid and I could put as many missiles and like weapons on it, but it had XCOM backpack. You had to make it all fit back.
Oh,
in the day.
No. It's not like that. So like there's a bunch of different slots. There's right arm, left shoulder, head, torso, right leg, left leg. And so it's where you can put stuff is divided into that, but beyond that, like it doesn't matter. You can just put wherever you want. There's only like one space in the head, so you can't like load everything into the head. And so you kind of want to spread things around. So like if you do lose an arm, you don't lose everything of the mech.
Yeah. And you can't, and because of the weight limit, you can't put like giant heavy cannons on like both arms, but like maybe one arm can hold it or something.
Exactly. Like unless it's like a heavy mech and can support that.
Got it. And you could probably make one that's like, it has all the weakest weapons, the lightest weapons, but you can put it everywhere. Then suddenly it shoots like, it does no damage.
Yeah. And then on top of that, each of your mech warriors, that's what they're called, the pilots, have like their own skill trees. So they get like special abilities that help them in certain ways. Like there's like a passive ability where when you move, you get like a little evasion tick, and that helps you when people are firing on you. And there's one ability where as long as you move, you get an extra evasion tick to help you defense. Another one is if you're in cover, you get extra damage reduction. And so these like little things, you're like, well, this guy has a whole bunch of boost in melee ability, so I want to put him in the mech that's going to like run up and beat people in the face.
I had a question about this in terms of is this a tactical game or is this a like real-time combat?
It's turn-based. It's turn-based. So it's tactical. Okay.
Perfect. XCOM-y.
Yeah. It's XCOM-y. So when you're not in combat, you basically have like free move. Everyone can move wherever you want. But as soon as combat hits, there's like an initiative turn order.
Got it. It so far has sounded appealing. It is a little weird because I like aliens and mechs are a little bit different, but I don't mind mechs. I don't hate mechs. It has potential. For me, it's still XCOM. It's just
still XCOM. Yeah.
It's XCOM and like work has picked up, so I haven't even been able to like keep playing my XCOM.
Yeah, this is basically gonna, when you have XCOM 2 stories to share, I'm gonna be on BattleTech. Like I feel like for the next month or so, this is gonna be what game I'm gonna be playing.
And there's now a young Harvey Z in there, or is he an old Harvey Z?
Yeah, he's a medium Harvey Z.
Okay.
The first code name that came up was Showbiz.
All right.
Yeah, so it's Harvey Z, aka Showbiz.
Big time.
Yeah, that's Harvey Z. big time Harvey Z.